birthday. This past Thursday, they had their first service. It's kind of hard to explain where, but Wewetok is 45 minutes north of Mexico City. And maybe half of that distance back towards Mexico City is where they started the mission, but off to the east a little bit. And it was actually where Manuel grew up. And so he had lots of friends and they had lots of contacts, and they were going to have a special service Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night there in the area. They were going to have other people come in and preach, and they were going to have some groups during the day passing out tracts and invitations, explaining where the mission was, just to show the people that it was a serious deal and not just a fly-by-night thing. I've not heard from them since they started the activities for this to see how it has gone. But there is another Hispanic man there that is willing to help preach at times and fully capable. And I'm just really excited all that's going on down there in Mexico. Manuel has spoken to me. Well, he spoke to me about, was it a week and a half ago, I think. And one of the ladies that Julie was able to lead to the Lord, her husband, is a pretty educated person, and he never really gave the time of day to anybody to talk to him about the Lord. But since we have gone, Manuel has been able to start a Bible study with him. And he hasn't made a decision for Christ or anything yet, but there's still that open door, and he's still going back every week. Well, Manuel was going to give him a deadline. He said, "You know, if you don't start coming to church by such and such a date, I'm just going to let you start studying on your own." Because the thing was is that it was getting to be such a long study, there was the comments made, "Well, you know, we just do this instead of going to church." And Manuel was telling him that you need to go to church. The Bible preaches, teaches, encourages us to go to church. And this is great to do this in your house, but if you don't start coming to church, well, then you're going to have to come to church to have the Bible study, because we're not going to keep coming to the house. So pray for him. There's a lot of decisions to be made, and the culture and situations are so different than here. At times, it's hard for me to know how to encourage him and how to just be a blessing to him. But things are going well, as well as can be expected, and God just gets all the glory for everything that he has done there in the lives of so many people. He's had to weed out a few, but that's caused the true crop to grow. So we're just really thankful of all God has done there. I wasn't able to send the money, though. I found out that I have to get his address. I have to get his full name, and there's one other thing I got to get from him. Otherwise, they don't know how to get it directly to him down there. So hopefully I'll be able to do that tonight, give him a call and get that information from him. So just pray that all go well there. The problem is in Mexico, they are extremely detailed. When we went to the embassy or we had to do any kind of paperwork, if there was one small insignificant error anywhere in that paper, they rejected it all. And they had to start from scratch. And so I want to be careful about this so that, you know, that money just doesn't get stuck in limbo for them down there. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Title of the message this morning is As Deer. As Deer. It says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." And it was a couple weeks ago, Brother Crane was teaching Sunday school, and he didn't teach on this verse, but we were on this page in my Bible, and as I was glancing down through there, this verse stuck out and was a blessing to me that morning. And especially as it just that phrase just stuck out to me, and actually I preached on this a couple, 3 weeks now in the Spanish service. This idea of be therefore followers of God as dear children. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this morning, and thank you for your word, and thank you that we are dear children because, Lord, you paid that price, and we are now adopted children, and we just thank you that even though we were yet sinning, You still died for us, and we thank you for that great gift of eternal life. And Father, if there be one here this morning that does not know you as Savior, that they would make that decision, realizing the great love and mercy and grace that is shown through that act. Oh, Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts, cleanse me of my sin, and Lord, help me to be a blessing to these folks today. Lord, I just pray that you would encourage and strengthen each of our missionaries around the world today, that you would meet their needs. And Father, I know that some have already had their services, maybe others are yet to have them, but Lord, I just pray that you would give them that strength that they need. Lord, I pray for our nation, God, that you would save our leaders and, Lord, turn their hearts to you and to know righteousness and holiness. Father, I pray that you would have mercy on our land and heal it. Lord, bless these services today. Lord, give us strength and the rest that we need for this week that is coming at us. And at the same token, Father, we just pray that you would come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. What is dear to you today? I'll be honest, when I decided how I was going to, or what I was going to study for this message, I was not thinking at all about Father's Day. As a matter of fact, when I told Julie the title of it, she's like, oh, that'd be a good one for Father's Day, and I hadn't even thought about Father's Day. So I'm not one to look at the calendar or pay attention to dates. Normally when I write a check, I have to find a watch or a calendar to figure out even what day it is. But as we think of this phrase, as dear, what is dear to you today? Or what has been dear to you this week? Some would say father, your father. Others would say your computer is dear to you, and if it ever crashes, you have no idea how you're going to live the rest of your life. Some would say their car. I saw a license plate here in the last week or so, and it says, it was one of those license plates that he had actually purchased instead of numbers, and it said, my other girl. You know, it was his car that was what was dear and precious to him. Maybe it's a house. I've seen many people in the last couple of weeks just really tidying up their house, paying a lot of attention to the lawn and where that grass is coming over the cement to get it cut off and getting rid of the weeds and the flower beds and all those kinds of things. maybe it's to others, it's a pet. Your pet is dear. And if it ever died, you'd cry for weeks. Maybe that's the way it would be. Maybe it's money. I know a pastor down in Florida it's his money. It could be so many things. Maybe it's friendship or tools. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your health. And I'm sure the list could be very, very long. But I looked up the word dear in the Webster's Dictionary. It said highly valued, something precious, affectionate, fond, expensive, heartfelt. A dear one is a loved one, sweetheart, or a lovable person. Are you a lovable person this morning? Dear. As I thought of all these words, I felt like the heartfelt one really gives us an idea of where Paul was headed through the Holy Spirit here with this one, as dear children. Children that God wants close to his heart. And in that same note of definition, it had dear John. How many of you know what a dear John is? Raise a hand. Hi, if you know what it is. I'll be honest, I never knew the origin of this, never really thought much about it, knew what it was, but it says its origin was 1945, World War II. Many soldiers were gone. They got back to a dear John. It says its origin, 1945, a letter in which a wife asks for a divorce or a girlfriend breaks off an engagement or a friendship. Think about that. A dear John Deere has nothing to do with that kind of a letter. It's nothing precious. It's nothing affectionate. It's nothing heartfelt. It's someone being selfish and thinking of themselves. Probably they were living in a sinful situation for all that time. The soldier was gone away, and all of a sudden he's back, and, oh, hey, we got to do this. Got to have a divorce. I just thought that was interesting that it put in there. Its origin was 1945. Wasn't a different country. It was the United States, where this dear John began. I really thought about that for a while as I was thinking of this phrase, as dear children. I am glad that God doesn't give us dear children letter. I'm disowning you. You have been readopted by a different family. But his salvation is eternal, and that's a blessing. As I was thinking about this, something precious or dear, I thought, I wonder how many guys have their guns named like Betsy or Clarabelle. You know, Different names like that, but guys do that because something is precious to them. I recently got something in the mail this week from North American Hunting Club, and they're giving this $1,900 shotgun away, and they're going to engrave it with your name on it, and it has their logo on it, and all these things. And I thought, you know, it's only worth that price to somebody who would pay it. That's it. Because it has your name on it. If it had, you know, Mr. Tubbs' name on it, it's not worth $1,900 to me. It doesn't have my name on it. But something highly valued. And this morning, as we think of this verse, it says, as dear children. Children, God's children are highly valued to him, extremely valuable to him. It says, be ye, therefore, followers. Because we are highly valued children to God. The Bible says, well, let's head here to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. 1 John 4, 16. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. If we are here this morning and we know Christ Jesus is our Savior, we know this love. In a sense, we can feel this love, and not that we have to feel the love, because feelings don't change facts. But we can feel his love, and we can see his love in our lives and in our families, in our jobs. You know, I was amazed this week. I'm going to get ahead of me in this, but that's all right. This week, I was in a situation where I was coming up on some people that know me sort of well, and I know them sort of well. But one of the persons was not dressed quite right. And I have never said anything to this person about modesty or anything at all. But this person was fixing herself before I even got up to be close enough to see anything. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? I've never said one thing to this person before, but they know. And see, just as the world knows that we are Christians, we need to recognize that there is a difference. No matter what you want to think or how we want to feel, there is a difference. And this love of God is real. And he dwells with us. And it says here, the last phrase, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And so there may be times in which we want to hide that glowingness about us because God dwells in us. We can't. We can't. Do you remember when Jeremiah tried to not talk about God for a while, not testify, not preach, and it was a burning inside of him? This week, I forget what, I think it was Thursday night when there was all those storms and the lightning and so forth, and we woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not sure if it was because of Chris, Charity or if it was actually because of the thunder, but every 5 seconds I heard this loud bang, as if somebody had shot a gun quite a distance off. It was bang, and then there was an echo, just like, you know, as if that bullet was whizzing, so to speak. And it went on for an hour. I thought, well, that cannot be a rifle or anything. It's too consistent. It was every 5 seconds I would go, one apple, two apple, three apple, four apple, five apple. Every single five apple, there was a bang. It was so consistent. It was like an hour and 15 minutes it went off. And I thought, what in the world is somebody doing at this hour of the night? But then I began to think, my mind began to wander, and it made me think of how much protection we have of our God and how dear my family is, well, at that second, was to me, thinking about, you know, what if somebody right now was being shot? You know, it wasn't too long ago and the Bean family was shot just a mile from our house. And you just take some of those moments and you realize how precious certain things are to you, even though there isn't anything around you taking place that would harm you. I had a dream last night of two polar bears. And I was telling my family about the polar bears this morning, how that one of them had both his paws on top of Julie and she was crying. He's squishing me. He's squishing me. And I got out my little Swiss Army knife and just started slicing his back, you know, and cutting his ligaments so he couldn't move his arm. And boy, the kids got into that, I'll tell you what. But, you know, And I'm not sure what triggered that dream. I just told Julie I better go to church loaded for bear this morning. I don't know. But anyway, things are precious to you. And here in the Word of God, we find that we are precious to Him. And that's why He wants us to follow Him as dear children. Not just because we're children. Not just because in Romans 12 we ought to. It's an understandable thing that we should do because of what He's done for us, but because we are dear children. Now, probably I would say in our world, there are some rich people who are spoiled brats. But then there's some other rich people who are as nice as you can imagine. And I had the privilege of working for a person that's fairly wealthy not too long ago. The nicest person you could ever meet. This person gave me a tip because he didn't get to buy my lunch. He gave me another tip just because we did good quality work and weren't foul mouthed and didn't play our radio, and the list went on. And this is a person that has money and didn't have to give it away, because that's what he did. He was giving it away. And I said, no, I don't need it. Just this amount right here. And he's like, no nonsense. And he gave me the rest of it. And I thought, boy, if I could only find a few more like that. But then there's other people that I've worked for over the years. And maybe some of you helped me. I can't remember back this far. But I remember this one old lady. And she says, no, I don't have very much money, so don't charge me very much for this. And she had just received an inheritance. Her brother had passed away, and she had to get this house fixed up a little bit so she could get rid of it because she was hurting for money. It wasn't a year later that woman died and donated $4 million to the library. And I thought, yeah, sure. You needed that extra $100 or whatever. But as we think of those people, some of them are wealthy because other people made them wealthy. Other contacts, friends, and so forth. And those wealthy people still maintain that friendship with those people. And they're friendly to others. And you would say, boy, that's a dear person. Look at how he's treating these people with respect and kindness and not lording it over them. But then there's other people, they just as soon use every single person on the face of this earth for a doormat. And what's the difference? One realizes what's precious, it's people. Another one, the only thing he can think about is money. That's all he can think of. That's all he sees in his eyes are those dollar signs. And this morning, as we think, and I trust the majority of us are Christians, but if there is one here this morning, let me tell you something. There is nothing more precious than being part of the family of God. That is the most precious thing in life. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, explains this adoption process. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Or in Spanish, they say papi. In English, maybe you say daddy, but it's a word of affection there. And that's what we've received, this great opportunity. It's as if we were in an orphanage with this mean old ugly lady who doesn't really want to give us much food, and we wear holy clothes, and this the orphanage is in a place where it's cold and damp and smells mildewy, and there's rats. And then we're given this nice, beautiful home with new parents that love us. That's what takes place in salvation. Only even greater than that, He rescues us from a damnation of hell and gives us a promise of heaven. And yet many still do not follow. You know, the scripture tells us that a man will be saved so as yet by fire, and that's it. Nothing else, because they never really followed the Lord in their life. But here, Paul is trying to express and explain to us a great privilege. It says, verse Ephesians 5:1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Understanding, folks, that we are dear children. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 11, that there's no respect of persons with God. It says it 8 times in the Scripture, that phrase, there's no respect for persons. It's not that there are some that are dear and some that are precious. And in God's family, there's all an equal love. There's not more for one and less for another. But families are so different. Every one of our families here are different. I found out from Barry that at the Coy's table, they get down to business. When it's time to eat, everybody's kind of quiet and calm, and they eat. But that's not how it is in our family. And as much as I want to say, shh, doesn't matter. Everybody's catching up on everything at the dinner table. And I remember when we were in Mexico, our teacher said that when they got together once a day, her siblings with her parents, to eat. And they took 2 hours to eat lunch. 2 hours. And I said, how could you sit there and eat that much? Because in my mind, when she was telling me this, I was thinking of eating that long. She says, oh, no, we don't just eat the whole time. We might take a little something and eat it and take a drink, and then we're going to talk for 15 minutes and catch up on things, and then we'll grab a few more snacks or the food, whatever, and then we'll converse more. Communication. Well, families are different. When I eat, I just want to get it down and get it over with. At the hardware store, some of those people go upstairs and they disappear for half an hour. They take their whole lunch break upstairs. I don't know what they must do for half an hour. But I go to the back table most of the time where I do my work, and I eat my sandwich. I might work on the screen or window or something, and I'll grab something else and eat that and then keep working on it. In about 10 minutes, the food's gone. We're back at it. But each family's different. Every person has different traits and different traditions in their family. But with God, the one thing that is in common is that his love is equal. And his will is perfect for each one of those children. I was thinking about this, and we were in Myers once this week, and I thought of back years ago, it seemed like we always got groceries on Monday. Seemed like sometimes it was in the morning, and then later on it got to be more in the afternoon or evening. But as years go on and families change and new families are started, the grocery day maybe is Wednesday, or maybe it's Saturday morning. Or maybe there really isn't a grocery day. There's just several stops in there. I heard one old man at McDonald's this week, and he said that he goes to Myers about 3 times a week. So things are different. But there's one thing that's common in the family of God. It's the Word of God that we can all come to and glean from it. And as I thought of this, I thought of 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2. As dear children, there are certain things that God has provided for us. One is heaven. And John 14:6, we see that. We see from this passage of Scripture that God has provided a certain kind of milk for us. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, I have to tell you, I don't think babies are born expecting milk. But as soon as they get it, they know they need it, and they learn to like it. I have never seen a baby reject milk and say, no, that's gross. Never. They're just expected to eat it, to like it, and to grow by it. And as Christians, that's what is the Word of God for us. Whether at times it seems difficult, boring, frustrating, or delicious, we need this Word so that we can be nourished by it, so that we can grow by it. And a person that neglects to read it is going to struggle greatly in their life. I can't tell you how many times we've been able to give counsel to somebody, and with their face, they acknowledge that that is true, that is right. But in a matter of days or months, we hear that that person did the exact opposite. This book is God's counsel book for us. And how often does he say, shake his head saying, why didn't they do that? Why didn't they do that? Going back with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 2, it says, and walk. And walk. We're to follow God as dear children, but we're to walk in love, in his love. Through this new milk. This milk should be desired by a new believer. This milk should be cherished by an old believer. How many of you like white milk? Just, I don't care if it's half, 2%, D, whole, I don't care. Raise your hand if you like milk. Goat milk, cow milk, any kind of milk. Okay? Now, how many of you love chocolate milk. I think a couple more hands went up. I don't really care too much about drinking plain milk. Something in it from the store makes my guts hurt. But you add some chocolate to it, and I'll be more tempted to drink it. See, in the Word of God, when we get closer to our God and we know Him better, the sweeter it is to us. We can comprehend it, and we can have this understanding that goes way beyond our lives. We can just, in a sense, dish it out and help someone else with it. That's how the milk affects us and goes through us. It causes growth in our life. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, the Bible says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And so when God gives us that new birth, it's putting away that old person. It's leaving him way behind and allowing God to make something new and fresh and enjoyable today and for this life that he has given to us. God provided us with this milk to make us strong, to give us strong backbone, if I can say it that way, a spiritual backbone. When Christ died for his dear friends, turn with me to John 15, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so Christ was laying down his life for his dear friends so that they could become dear children of God. That's what took place there. He did a marvelous thing for us in that cross. How often are we slow to follow? Slow to follow. Dear children are those who do what they do for their guardian, whether it's grandparent, parent, adopted situation. But they do it from their heart because of love, a genuine love. And I would hope that we would obey our God because of a genuine love for Him. Not as a slave. Not as a servant, not as a soldier, but as a child who loves their parent, loves him. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, excuse me, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, not only did the Apostle Paul write that we should follow our God as dear children, but in verse 8 it says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And I begin to think about that. Light is refreshing. After those cloudy days this week and the sun came out, I heard other people say, oh, look at the sun. It all of a sudden refreshed them and excited them. At the hardware store, there's a little plastic container. And it's funny, but it's almost like clockwork. On a sunny day, people will throw in pennies into that thing. Extra pennies. They don't want their pocket full of change. They'll throw pennies in there. On a cloudy day, that thing will be empty. No one will put their extra change in there. No one. So the sun, the light is refreshing. And folks, we can be refreshing to others if we allow God to shine through us. What happens in the morning when that sun just starts to break over the hill, whatever, horizon, I don't know what you call it over there. Birds start chirping. Has anybody ever been angry at the fact that the birds were chirping? Most of the time, not. Now, maybe you got into your bed about 4 o'clock in the morning, and that wasn't the first thing you wanted to hear in the morning. But generally speaking, the birds cause other people to be cheerful, excited. So light is refreshing. It's cheerful. Light gives security. It's at night when people want to lock all their doors with every single lock they can find on their door. Recently, we were at a house and had to repair a doorknob because it wasn't working. And the lady said that she couldn't lock it and then get back in. Well, I understood why, because she had all these slide bolts on the inside. She didn't want anybody in there. So light gives security. It gives warmth. It gives direction. Light does this. Let's look up a couple verses here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And folks, we can be a blessing to others by allowing the light of God to shine brightly enough to not blind them, but so that they can see the error of the way. See the error of the way. And so what a blessing it is for our lives. I have had different flashlights down through the years. I was given one through the old wool hand lumber for having an account there for so many years, and it was a mag flashlight. It took 3D batteries. And man, it was a nice bright flashlight until they came out with these new light bulbs, the LEDs. And then that seemed like some old garage sale item. And this new light, man, it just seems like it just shines across so bright and so white. And so I always use them now. As a matter of fact, I bought another one of those. So we'll have one in the van and one in the house. Just because it's so bright. There's no doubt of what you're looking at with that light. It lightens it right up. And God's word through our lives, living it, meditating it, using it, will cause that bright and pure light to be a blessing to others. Long time ago, we shot a deer behind Dad's house on old 14-mile road. And I've always had trouble seeing red. And so I called up a friend, Stephen Snyder, and I said, Stephen, can you and David come over and help me track a deer? And so they brought over this massive spotlight, like a million candlelight power. And we started walking back there, and there was no doubt about it where the blood was or where the arrow was. That light just lit up everything. But David, he had brought his own little tiny puny flashlight. That was so drowned out, it was worthless. Absolutely worthless. It was better for us just to stay close to Stephen, and we could see then where the tracks went. And folks, I would dare say that the farther away we get from God, it's like that tiny puny flashlight. It's about worthless. All the knowledge is up here, but we're not really accessing that pure light. We're getting farther away from the Word of God instead of getting closer to it. And we encourage our children to read their Bibles every day. And you know what? You can see an attitude change. And he'll say, so-and-so, have you read your Bible today? Well, I don't know. And I'll just say, well, if you don't know, then you didn't. So let's go do it. And it changes the attitude. And Isaiah 58. When God makes us his dear children, he gives us light. Isaiah 58. And it's interesting to know in Isaiah 58, 59, and 60 how many times the word light is used. But in Isaiah 58, verse 8, the Bible says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. And so when it talks about that light, it talks about health, how that we're stronger because of the light. And God has given us that health to access if we will only do so. At 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Why? Because there's not security there. And what an exciting fact is that our God wants to make us secure. And this week, I was involved with a little situation, and I just had to comment and say, you know, this is taking place because of insecurity. This person is not secure in this circumstance, and so it needs to be changed. Well, the other person acknowledged the fact, but I'm not sure they're going to change anything. That is so sad when God wants to give so much security through his word. And Luke chapter 11, verse 36. Julie, when she gets up in the morning, the first thing she does is not put in her contacts. She'll walk around and do all kinds of things in the dark. She'll go start maybe breakfast or laundry or whatever. without her contacts or glasses and in the dark. When I get up, the first thing I like to do is turn the lights on. I want to be able to see what's going on. Well, the first thing I do before I even leave my bed is put the glasses on. And my glasses are not as bad as Julie's, as far as thickness goes. And I don't know, I guess it's just different personalities and so forth. Maybe she would say that she knows where everything is, so why does she need the light? And I don't pay as much attention, so I need the light to find all these things. And that could be quite a discussion there. But in Luke chapter 11, verse 36, the Bible says, "If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." Thomas Edison, from what I understand, his mom needed a surgery. And the doctor said there wasn't enough light. And in his brain, he began to think and devise a way to get more light. And so he brought in a mirror. And with these mirrors, the reflection of that candle provided enough light for the doctor to do the surgery. It made me think of this, that God has given us light, that we can gain more light by using our mirror, which is the Word of God. In a couple places it talks about the fact that it's a mirror. Using it in our lives. There have been a couple of situations this week in which that somebody used the name of God in vain around me. And it made me upset. And I'm glad that it did. But later on, another person that claimed to be a Christian used the same word in vain. And I thought, if they only realized the hole that they are making, not only for themselves, but for someone else. But someone else that truly isn't saved. Maybe this other person isn't saved. I don't know. Only God does. But, oh, if our whole body were only full of light, there would be no darkness. God would not have put something like this in His Word if it was not attainable for us today. We can be full of light. Just as those pictures out on the table, some of you guys are already drooling over. You're going to have to clean the glass when we get out there. Just as those are very beautiful and precious, so can the lives of so many people be as that light is shown through us as God's dear children. Not to make us puffed up, but it's a fact. We are His dear children because He gave His life for us. He would have not have done that if we weren't something precious to Him. Ben Franklin said, "Early to bed, early to rise." How's the rest of it go? Healthy, wealthy, and wise. Some of the kids don't like to think about that phrase too much because they don't want to get up early and they don't want to go to bed early. But folks, when we get up and use that time with God, think about the impact on that day, just in your life, and then in the lives of others. Healthy, wealthy, and wise. Make us more productive as Christians. And using a man who may not have been saved, his little phrase to teach us something spiritual. Get up and spend time with God. Follow Him as His dear children. Not because you have to, and not with a whining attitude, not with a grumbling spirit as you go off and do whatever it is, but with joy because you are a dear child. And you just do a test in your own house today, or grab a couple of kids today before you leave and talk to one real sweet and talk to one real grumpy. And we'll see how they respond. See, God is speaking to us with love through this word. Even though there's some hard things, it's with love. And so that can produce a spirit in us that says, that's true, I need to go forward. Bob Snyder is a person who always just speaks it frank. And there's another fellow at the hardware store, his name's Jim. He's an old fellow, started a couple churches in Florida, I guess, and he's just real frank. He'll blow both barrels off at the same time, and you just better be ready for it. But you know something? People respect him. They really respect him. Both of those men. Why? Because they are willing to take this light and then shoot it off when necessary, when they're given that opportunity where some of us, well, I'll just use myself as an example, when maybe sometimes I'm feeling a little shy about the fact. And the results aren't the same. And so, folks, let's be followers of our God as His dear children. Let's be children of light. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day and this opportunity. Speak to us through Your Word and use Your Word to mold us and strengthen us and give us a strong spiritual backbone, Lord, to to withstand sin, to withstand the darkness, to avoid those things, that we may be pleasing in your sight as your dear children. And we'll just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.